You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Real Thanksgiving's Focus on God. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
For the past 136 years, since 1863, all across the United States, the fourth Thursday in November has been designated as a national holiday and celebrated as Thanksgiving Day. In 1879, the Canadian Parliament also declared a national holiday of Thanksgiving. On January 31, 1957, the Canadian Parliament proclaimed that the second Monday in October be a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Throughout the United States and Canada and some parts of the Caribbean, it is now customary for people to set aside one day every year to give thanks to the Almighty. However, with great sadness, we must acknowledge that most people nowadays have been tricked by the devil to believe that giving thanks to God is an optional activity. Most people nowadays feel that if you get around to it, that's fine. But if you don't, it's no big deal. In His Word, however, God clearly states otherwise. Our loving Lord has clearly commanded that all His children be careful that they not live as if the life they live is their own, and that the goods they gather or accrue are a result of their personal efforts, and that whatever is accomplished in their life is a result of their own doing. In the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read the word of the Lord, Beware, yes, beware, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, and when you have built good houses and lived in them, that your heart then becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God. The Bible also warns that if you do not daily see all that God has done for you, then you may be tempted to say in your heart, My power and the strength of my hand has made me this wealth. But the Bible then also says, You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you the power to accomplish all these things. Finally, the Lord takes the sin of thanklessness and ties it directly to idolatry when He says, And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Thanklessness, my friend, is a terrible sin in the sight of God. Therefore, even as God holds up the mirror of His law, thus enabling us to see the seriousness of our thanklessness, so also our Heavenly Father invites us to pour out our heart in sincere thanksgiving, just as the psalmist did. In Psalm 92, the psalmist says, It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High, to declare Thy loving kindness in the mornings and Thy faithfulness by night. For Thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what Thou hast done, and I will sing for joy the works of Thy hands. My friend, when you and I look around and see all the technology that has made our lives easier, we are reminded that our parents and our grandparents did not have these conveniences. Modern inventions, modern medicine, modern transportation, these are all gifts of our gracious God. 25 years ago, a Mr. Henry Leiper took the time to draw up a comparison between the affluence of the developed countries such as the United States and Canada and the poorer countries of the world. He began by pointing out that one might see the entire population of the world as being represented by 1,000 people. Now, if that were the case, proportionately speaking, only 60 of these 1,000 people would be Americans. However, even though Americans would be only 60 of the 1,000 total, they would receive 50% or one-half of the entire income of the town or the world. These same 60 Americans would then have a life expectancy of 70 years, but the remaining 940 persons would have a life expectancy of only 40 years. The 60 Americans would own 15 times as much per person than all of their neighbors, and the Americans would eat 72% more than the maximum food requirements. And many of the other 940 people would go to bed hungry every night. And so then, if you and I look at life purely in a technical or a secular sense, even then we are overwhelmed at the incredible blessings that God has given to us. Oh, indeed. When we see what many of us have, and when we see what the rest of the world does not have, you and I ought to hang our heads in shame that so often we are so thankless. Looking at modern technology may humble us and lead us, at least momentarily, to a type of secular thankfulness. Yet it is only when we look at the cross of Christ that our hearts are transformed into daily God-pleasing thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul puts the cross of Christ and thanksgiving into a correct relationship when he writes in Romans chapter 8, "God, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all on the bloody cross, how will our Heavenly Father then not also with Jesus freely give us all things?" Oh, my friend, it was also because the hymn writer had looked at the crucifixion cross of Jesus Christ that he was moved to sing praises of thanks and say, "Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Since Christ hath full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Thy grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Thy death is now my life indeed, for Thou hast paid my ransom." The hymn writer then, in a spirit of thanksgiving, says, "All blessings, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God that saved us by His grace, all glory to His merit. O triune God in heaven above, who hast revealed Thy saving love, Thy blessed name be hallowed." Now, when thanksgiving is over, you and I may be tempted to evaluate this special day by how much we ate, or by how this year's turkey tasted as compared to last year, or by which team won the ball game, or by whether the pre-Christmas sales on Thanksgiving afternoon were as good as last year's sales, or by how many Rolaids or Alka-Seltzers we ate, or by whether or not the Thanksgiving sermon in church was or was not entertaining. Any or all of these ideas might pass through our mind. However, in God's eyes, whether or not you and I celebrate a genuine, God-pleasing Thanksgiving depends on only and alone what happens in our heart when our eyes focus on the bloody cross where God's innocent Son Jesus was cruelly crucified. You and I must confess that in spite of our best intentions, we are often repeated failures in our homes, in our marriages, and in our lives. And yet, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, God accepts us when we turn to Him in repentance in the Savior's name. Even though in the depth of our sin we often feel helpless, through His living Word, God brings us hope. When the Word of God enters your ears, and when you read God's living Word with your eyes, this dynamic power of God then brings to you God's gift of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It is also God's gift of faith that enables us to celebrate with great joy, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, and to take the words of the psalmist and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, yes, thank the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, He forgives me all my sin and iniquity. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Finally, the psalmist reminds us, our merciful God does not deal with us according to our sins. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, has God removed our transgressions from us. And so then, what more can we say? I could list endless statistics comparing our riches to the millions who live in poverty, hoping that this would move you and me to be thankful. But the simple fact is this: real thanksgiving comes to us no matter whether we are rich or whether we are poor. When Jesus died on the cross, He shed His blood for those who are making $50,000 and those who make only $5,000 or less. When Jesus rose from the dead, He rose for those who live in mansions as well as those who live in rest homes and those who are penniless. Therefore, when it comes to thanksgiving, if we want ours to be a God-pleasing thanksgiving, then let us begin by looking at the crucifixion cross. For, as the Apostle Paul says, our Heavenly Father, who did not spare His own Son, Jesus, but gave Him up on the bloody cross, will He not then freely, yes, freely give us all the other things? O Lord, we pray, by Your Word and Spirit, enable all who are listening today to see all Your gracious gifts. And Lord, let us give thanks as we look through the prism of Your bloody cross of mercy. Finally, Heavenly Father, permit each of us to be thankful for Your mercy in Jesus Christ every day. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.